Let's turn together in our Bibles back again to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And reading from Hebrews 11, we'll start again at verse 32. Verse 32, but then you'll see in verse 34, that's our text, where they quenched the power of fire. And that's what our focus is for this morning. We'll start at verse 32. Hebrews 11 at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in caves, dens and caves of the earth. Again, our focus is verse 34, who by faith these quenched the power of fire. And that's as far as reading in Hebrews 11. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are not a bed of roses. In fact, they are better compared to a trail of tears. Some trials come upon us simply because we're living in a fallen world. Other trials come upon us in the form of persecution because we are followers of Jesus Christ. But are these things shocking to us? Does it surprise us when trials come upon us? Listen to these words of 1 Peter 4. This is 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't let it catch you off guard when fiery trials come upon you, because these things are not strange. They're not unexpected. They are part and parcel of being a follower of Christ. If they hated Christ, they will hate his followers. If they persecuted Christ, they will persecute his disciples. So these trials, these tribulations, these hardships are to be expected. But what consolation, what comfort do we have? Well, we are promised not only the presence of trials and tribulations, we are promised the presence of Jesus Christ in these trials and through these tribulations. The fact that he is there with us, that he sustains us, comforts us when we face this sobering truth. So as we turn again to Hebrews 11, verse 34, we're going to be focusing on this phrase, by faith some quenched the power of the fire. So we read in Daniel chapter 3, the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was these three friends who by faith quenched the power of the fire. Trials teach us, they instruct us to look beyond ourselves, to place our focus for hope not in the things of this world. Fire forces us to look up, to look beyond ourselves, because fire purifies our faith and drives us into the arms of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to see that the same fire that consumes the enemy purifies his people. So we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ enables his people to stand firm by faith in the fire as they give a defense for their faith. So by faith, they stand firm in the fire even as they give a defense for that same faith. In our first point, then, we look at the challenge that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, face. A direct conflict between the system of belief in which they find themselves and the faith of their fathers. Remember, children, the context of the book of Daniel. As Nebuchadnezzar with the Babylonian army has rolled over Jerusalem and rolled over Judea, and that war machine has deported the capable, royal, gifted young men. So along with Daniel, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought over to Babylon. They are separated. They are removed from their family, removed from their heritage, removed from access to the temple. They are taken away from everything they know, everything and everyone they love. In a foreign land where allegiance with the religion of the king is the only way to succeed, they are trained in the way of Babylon, under the greatest king in the strongest empire of that day. Now, if you turn in your Bibles back to Daniel chapter 3, you'll find that the context of the fiery furnace is this great golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has just constructed. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, Daniel interprets the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar's response is to build himself as this great, mighty golden image and set it up on a pedestal. And every time all these instruments were to play, everyone from all nations were to bow down and worship this golden image, which represented the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. It was literally the worship of man. So in Daniel 3, this expectation and demand is clear. When you hear the music, bow down and worship, or you forfeit your life. So everyone does this. Everyone of all nations and every creed falls down and worship, bows before this golden idol. So there's immense pressure placed on these three young men. Peer pressure in a foreign land, separated from family and friends, separated from your home church, surrounded by this intense pressure to bow down and worship. Everyone is doing it. They're submitting to the king's command. Political pressure applied. The threat of physical violence is clear in verse 6, Daniel 3, verse 6, and again in verse 15. Fall down or you will be cast into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, conform to this world. Worship the idols that those around you worship, or you will pay the price. Perhaps the closest situation we might find in our present day would be as a young Christian person goes off to college, attending a secular college. Here at a secular college, this Christian young person may feel that they are alone, that there is intense pressure upon them on the campus to worship the idols of this world. To worship the idolatry of power, or the idolatry of sex, or adultery, or the things of this world that our world focuses in. These young people under intense pressure to conform to the world. If you stand up, you will stick out, and you will be persecuted. Because the fact is, persecution remains in this world, present. Perhaps you saw this past week. There were 70 Christians who were beheaded in the Congo because of their faith. Standing up for Christ, allegiance with Christ, puts your life in danger. So these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are faced with a choice. Submit or die. The confrontation is heightened. Verse 13, they experience the rage and anger of the king. You're given one more chance. What will you do? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Bow down to my image, conform to this world, or taste the flame of the fire. As Nebuchadnezzar says, who are you to stand against me? Do you think your God can save you from my hands? Nebuchadnezzar says in his pride, verse 15, who is the God who will deliver you from me? Is your God stronger than the might of the Babylonian army? So proud and arrogant Nebuchadnezzar gives this ultimatum. And these three friends, faithful Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, give their answer. In response to this coercion and this threat, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respond in verse 16 with their statement of faith. First of all, their statement of faith is a declaration of innocence. So they say in verse 16, "We have no need to answer you in this matter. We stand before the Lord and our conscience is clear." When it comes to matters of faith and religion, Nebuchadnezzar, we have done nothing wrong. We have only done what is right. And ultimately, these three friends say, our appeal is to the Lord. Our allegiance to Him. Second, in the statement of faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego present the power of God. The character trait of God is that His arm is strong. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. Verse 17, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. This clear statement of faith, our God is able to deliver us. When you are comparing the might of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar and the power of the Lord, this is not even a comparison. Nebuchadnezzar, we are submitting to the power of God. He is able to do immeasurably more than you could even imagine. You may think that you are the all-powerful king, but there is a ruler who is sovereign, and you rule only at his allowance. So these three friends declare the greatness of God. The third part of their defense of faith is a humble and submissive response. Verse 17, if it be so, our God is able to save. So not only is our God have the power to save, if it be so, our God can save. You have asked who can save. The answer is our God can save. He is able. He has the ability, but we do not know if He will. We do not know what the end result of this conflict will be. It may be that my life is ended by this flame, but it's not because my God is not able to save. So we submit ourselves to God's will. The fourth aspect of this declaration of faith is a certain declaration of future deliverance. Verse 17 concludes, and He will deliver us. My God is able to save. He can save. It may be His will to save in this particular moment. But at the end of the day, know this, Nebuchadnezzar, our God will ultimately save. Regardless of the outcome of this present trial, if my body is destined to die in this flame, my God has not failed. He will deliver me out of your hands by taking my soul immediately to be with Him in glory. I am not in your hands, Nebuchadnezzar. I am in the hands of a loving God. And if it is His will that I pass through the fire and this fiery furnace be the end of my earthly life, I am certain that He will deliver, that He will rescue, and He will save. And then finally, the fifth aspect of this defense of faith is committed obedience. Verse 18, know this, Nebuchadnezzar, no matter what you do or what you say, we will not serve your God or worship these idols. Regardless of what happens in this particular conflict, I will never bow the knee to these false gods. Like the martyrs who have gone before and who will come after us, we will not submit. We would rather submit our backs to the whips, our tongues to the gags, our bodies to the flame, than to deny this great truth. Nothing you can do No threat of punishment or fear of death will convince me to give up my faith. Even if I have to die for this faith, I will not deny him who is faithful. So in these few verses, we find a very clear, bold defense of the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know that my God is able, I know that he can, and I know that ultimately he will save. They are ready to give a defense for the hope in their heart. They give that defense with gentleness and respect, but they give it with boldness. Our God has the ability to save, and even if he doesn't save me out of this particular context and specific trial in which I find myself, I will not deny him. I will not question his love, for he is faithful. Because the fact is, brothers and sisters, God is not obligated to give us an easy life. God is not obligated to give us an easy earthly journey. That is one of the major great lies of our day. That becoming a Christian means that you will have a prosperous and healthy, joyful life here below. That is not the case, and that is not what God promises. Remember, even when it comes to our prayer, the answer to our prayer, deliver us from this trial, the answer to that prayer that God may give may be no, or it may be not yet. Trials endure. Think of Paul. He prayed again and again, take this thorn from me. And what was the Lord's response? My grace is sufficient for you in the time of need. Even when you stand in the fire, by faith we know that God will ultimately and eventually save us. We do not doubt God's power. We don't question his love. We rather humbly submit. We kiss the hand that disciplines. Because through this trial, our God is sustaining us. He's strengthening us. His grace is sufficient for us. So the faith of these three friends in the fire is clear, it is bold, and it is submissive. If it is God's will, he can save. He can deliver you from this trial. He can take that thorn, that pain away. But if not, I will accept this flame as I look to his hand for the necessary grace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego give their answer to the king in verse 18. And the immediate reward for their statement of faith is execution. That's the reward that they are given. A clear, bold statement of faith rejected by the king, the reward for standing up for the truth, is that Nebuchadnezzar orders his strongest soldiers to bind them with ropes and to cast them in the furnace that has been overheated. It is a good reminder, brothers and sisters, that it is our faith that often puts us in the fire. It's because we are believers that trials come upon us. But it is also a good reminder that if it is the faith that puts us in the fire, it is the same faith that will sustain you while you're in the fire. By faith, these three men lived and confessed the truth, and by faith, they were ready to die. If I need to give up my life for the sake of the truth, I will not deny my Savior because he is faithful. So they accept this bitter cup. Yet the only thing is, they didn't die. As we find in verse 24, they were graciously spared. Now remember, brothers and sisters, that these three men, at least we don't read about it here in Daniel 3, these three men did not receive a special revelation of promised deliverance. They didn't know how this was going to end. They were willing to obey, even if that meant that their bodies were consumed by the flame. We don't read of any angelic messenger who promised them that this fire would not harm them. And yet they acted in that faith, and God graciously spared them. In fact, the very flames that would be used to consume the soldiers becomes a warm welcome for these three friends. Now, the manner of this deliverance is quite wonderful. Verse 27 puts it like this: the fire had no power over them. We read that in Hebrews 11, that by faith they quenched the power of the fire. Literally, Hebrews 11 says that the fire was restrained. The fire was kept in check. It had no power over them. As it is for us when we face our greatest foe, death itself has no power over us. So these three friends who are cast into the fire, bound hand and foot with all of their earthly clothes on, find themselves standing in the fire with no singeing, no burning, and not even the hair of their head or the sandals of their feet, not even the smell of fire would be upon them. Verse 24, they were given the divine protection so that the fire would not hurt them at all. Even the ropes that had been used to bind them were burned up by the fire. The soldiers that had brought them to the furnace were consumed by the fire. So every enemy is destroyed by the fire, is consumed, and yet the fire becomes a warm welcome, a manner of purification. So these friends find rest even through the fire. They are untouched and unspoiled. But they have one more aspect to this blessed deliverance, and that aspect is a companion. Not only are they, their clothes, their bodies spared from the flame, not only are they delivered from the foe, from the ropes and the soldiers who brought them there, they are given a personal protector and companion in this time of need. Notice that the angel of the Lord meets them in the furnace. The angel of the Lord joins them in the fire. When the fire is the hottest, the presence of the Son of God is the nearest. Here the Son of God walks among his people. We have this promise as God's people that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And Matthew 18 says, where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus Christ will be there with them. What we find in the fiery furnace is a worship service. What happens in the fiery furnace is a gathering together of God's people. Three men gathered, and Jesus Christ is there with them. When the Lord our God is with us, his Spirit dwelling in our hearts, these three men can sing songs of deliverance as the apostles did while they were in prison. They can dance for joy while in the fire, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Their faith in God is not in vain, their salvation completely secured by Jesus Christ. It's certain and it is secure. If it is true that nothing can remove us from the love of God, if it is true that nothing can remove us from the hand of Jesus Christ, why would we be afraid when we face the fire? So the application becomes clear. When we are called to walk through the trial, when we are called to stand in the flame, by faith, we know that God's presence remains with us and that this trial must give way to God's glory and our good. We can have good and lasting comfort because we know that Jesus is our comforter. That when we stand in the flame, we will not be consumed because Jesus stood in the flame for us. That when it comes to drinking the cup of God's wrath, Jesus drained it to the last drop. The fire will not be the instrument of our doom. It will rather be blunted and having no power over us. We know that our lives will bring us through trials. We'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We'll stand in the storm. But his presence remains with us. The faith that enables us to see these trials as not a foretaste of eternal destruction, but sent to us from a loving God for our good. It's that faith that enables us to stand firm. So we see here, Jesus Christ does not abandon them in the fire. Rather, he stands with them. His comforting presence, even today, by his Spirit, It remains, and when we go through the trial, his presence is intensified when we face our greatest need. It is the flame that draws out our greatest comfort. Perhaps some of you have been able to testify to that. You went through a very difficult and trying time, loss of a loved one, physical hardship, financial hardship, and you went through it. And when you were in it, you didn't know if you could get through it. And God gave you the grace, his sufficient grace. And when you look back, you can say, it was then that the Lord was the closest to me. I felt his presence in such great love. No fire and no death can remove us from the hand of Jesus Christ. And it's that faith that stands firm even in the fire. To conclude, these three Hebrew men resolved to obey God and defend their faith no matter the cost. In this particular trial, God delivered them from the fire. Just as he will deliver the apostles from the prison, and just as he will deliver his child from the lion's den next week, Lord willing. By faith, these three friends could stand in the fire without fear. The flames were extinguished, if you will. They had no power over them. The enemy is restrained and kept in check. As our theme states, Jesus Christ enables his people to stand firm in the fire as they give a defense for their faith. I close with the words of 1 Peter 1. For a little while you are grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor. So may we all be steadfast in our faith, knowing that our God can and will deliver us from the fire. May that faith be unswerving, strong and steadfast, bold and clear, giving a defense for the hope that's in our hearts. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that when we are joined to Christ by faith, no flame can overcome us. That even if we are called to walk through trials, even when we experience the prick of thorns, it's through that trial that your grace is made evident and sufficient. Your presence is impressed upon us all the more. So may we, O Lord, not doubt, but rather may we believe, because Jesus Christ has secured us and saved us, and nothing can take us, nothing can remove us from your love. In Jesus' name we pray.